Welcome. I'm Christina Michelle, inviting you to join me for Culture Rich Conversations, an ongoing feature of Juno Afternoon. This week, we're reading questions and comments from our listening audience, and our producer and very special guest, Natasha Boozer, is answering them with me. From how culture-rich conversations begin to how we choose our guests and everything in between. Today, we take a look behind the scenes and share everything that goes into putting each episode together and all the fun we have learning from guests along the way. From KTOO in Juneau, this is Culture-Rich Conversations.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund grant program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
The Black Awareness Association would like to take a moment to recognize that Culture Rich Conversations is broadcast from Thlinkit Ani. We acknowledge those families who made use of this land and waterways for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and future generations. Gunalshchish, thank you.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. Today, I'm joined by Natasha Boozer, and we're answering questions from you, the listeners. We are so excited to see that our listeners have a lot to say, and today we're more than happy to share your questions and comments and give you a behind-the-scenes glimpse into what it takes to put our show together. So let's get started. First of all, welcome, Natasha.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. So Natasha is our show producer and she joined our team a few months ago. And she is joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada. She used to live here in Juneau, actually grew up here in Juneau and has been a supporter of the Black Awareness Association for a long time. And we're just thrilled that she's now connected in this way as our producer for Culture Rich Conversations. So happy to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. So let's talk about what Culture Rich Conversations is first. If somebody were just listening, you know, just happened to be hearing this show today and had no context or wasn't listening regularly, how would we describe Culture Rich Conversations?
So the way I describe it to our guests is that what we do is we bring information, education to our audience about the Black lived experience here in Alaska. That's what it means to me.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that that was something that was hard to put into a few words until maybe a month or two ago, where we just always were describing it in different ways. But when we finally nailed down that we are highlighting the Black lived experience, that kind of brought everything together. And then it was easy, I think, to tell people about the show in just a few words and have them be able to have an accurate image of what we're doing. So that's been pretty cool. Okay, so we're going to go over the questions that we have gotten over the past season or two, the most commonly asked questions. And as we are getting more comfortable doing the show, I think that we're going to be wanting to have more interaction with our listeners. And so we definitely are encouraging you to reach out to us. At the end of every show, we share our email address. We're also accessible on Facebook, and we do have a P.O. box if you want to write something to us there. But we definitely do want to hear from you. And so far, these are the things that people have asked us about. So here we go. Let's see here. How did Culture Rich Conversations get started? So I can speak to that, and then Tasha, if you want to add, you can. So Culture Rich Conversations began a couple of years ago, shortly after the George Floyd incident when he died in the summer of 2020, and KTOO reached out to the Black Awareness Association of Juneau and asked if we wanted to have a show talking about that particular incident and just kind of processing it and how it was affecting the Black community. And then it kind of just grew from there. We did do the show, and then there was a lot of positive feedback from it. And so we had some conversations about continuing to do something regularly, and it has grown into a weekly show during a Juneau afternoon on Thursdays. And we're really proud of it, and I'm very, very thankful to KTOO for the opportunity to have even done the first show on George Floyd, and especially their sensitivity and openness to having us to continue to have a conversation about the Black lived experience. So big thank you to KTOO.
Absolutely. I think you described it perfectly. I think, at least for me, I think that it adds so much to the community in Juneau, Alaska. I think that it gives the Black community a safe space to feel like their voices are heard and their experiences are being spoken upon. And I think it educates people who weren't necessarily aware of what it means to be a Black Alaskan. And so, yeah, I think you described it perfectly. And I'm so thankful that the show exists. I think it enriches the community and sort of adds more to what it means to be a Black Alaskan growing up and living and working and thriving in Alaska, 100%.
Absolutely. Okay, so how long does it take to put a show together?
The simple answer is it takes about 5 days from start to finish. That's like a very short answer. The time for each day is varied. Sometimes it's a little more than a couple of hours. It can take about half a day. It depends on the topic, but normally about 5 days to put from start to finish put together.
Okay. And I know from experience that's, you know, there's a lot that goes into those 5 days. And we are so excited that we have Natasha, because before we didn't have a producer. And so we were all doing our best to pull all of the shows together. And it's a lot of work. And so now to have that centrally focused and have one person who's, I mean, I can't even say how supremely perfect you are for this. Like, we're just very happy to have you. And it's just so much better now with Natasha. So about 5 days. Okay. Let's see. What are the logistics that go into putting together the show?
Right. It's a great question. I'm so thankful that somebody asked that. So I start with researching the topic and pulling articles and finding whatever information I can find about a topic. And next, I locate the guests that are either experts or people that have a lot of life experience regarding the topic. And then I work on booking those guests and finally putting a script together that consists of questions that will help us dive into the topic and give our guests a chance to shine and show their insights about that topic.
Okay. So how do we choose who we're going to talk to? How do we choose guests?
So I think what I do is I choose guests that are best qualified to speak on our topics, whether it be life experience or expertise. I try to find guests that really can go in depth from, you know, whether it's their life experience or their studies and their education and their job. I try to find guests that are very well qualified for each topic, so that our audience can, again, be informed and educated about the topic and feel like they're learning more from each episode.
Okay. So I would say that's how it happens now. In the beginning, we chose guests based on who was willing and able, and who we knew. And so we had a lot of family members, and I think we still do. We have, for good reason, you know, we've had family members on the show because they were experts in whatever we were talking about. But it often was basically like who we trusted and who we could reach out to quickly and connect with. And so now having you in the role that you're in, it's kind of expanded beyond that a lot. And we're very happy for that, too, because we only know so many people personally, right? So
absolutely.
Okay, so then that kind of segues into how do we choose topics. And I will say there's, you know, in the beginning, it started out with, like I said, the George Floyd incident. And so from there, we continued on what was happening with police brutality and how the Black community was responding and how we were affected. So we did quite a few shows centered around that. And then we just kind of started branching out and getting feedback from people, and people in our community were sharing what they would like to hear. And so to the best of our ability, we will do a show about something that we're asked to do a show about. And then we do have Hot Topics, which is something that we have been trying out, like the first episode of each month, where we talk about what is trending in the Black community worldwide. So, yeah, I think it just depends on what's happening culturally and then what we're asked to do. Any other thoughts on that?
I agree with that. I think we have an kinds of things we want to cover, especially for this season. But basically, I also think we brainstorm ideas and make sure that we have the capabilities to bring those topics to fruition. I think if there's topics that we are interested in but we can't find an angle that works for the show, then we have to, you know, set it aside. But I think moreover than anything else, we try to pick topics that really work with what we're doing on this show, on Culture's Conversations, and make sure that we can actually have guests that can talk about it, the time to research it, because all that plays into solidifying a topic for the show, for an episode.
Absolutely. Okay, so this question is kind of a broad one. It just says, what were things like in the beginning? So, Natasha wasn't here in the beginning. Let's see. I don't know. What were things like in the beginning? I hope that I'm answering this from the right perspective, the way that it, you know, it was asked. I think that in the beginning for us, it was scary. It was exciting, but we also felt like, I will say this, we started out recording in the living room, at home, usually in my living room or in my office at home, with the door closed, and with Cheryl and Rhonda coaching us on how to get the best possible quality sound at home and not in a studio and not with a professional mic. And so we were recording episodes on our cell phone or on Zoom and basically sending them in to KTOO, and then they would air them. And that was happening because of COVID, and so we didn't have access to the studio. And so that's just the way that we did it. Let's see, there really was no, I mean, we did talk about what we were going to talk about, and we had like a loose agenda for the show, but it was very conversational. So there really was no concept of segments or breaks or anything like that. We just came together and we had a roundtable discussion with maybe two or three guests at a time, or we might have, if we had one person who was on the show, it was just kind of like that person and myself having a conversation that you might not even, I wouldn't say you wouldn't know that we were on the radio. It wasn't like that. We were conscious that we were, but it kind of, we wanted it to sound like you were just listening in to two people having a conversation. We wanted it to be very personal and for you to just feel like I'm here with friends kind of thing, overhearing a conversation. So that's how it was in the beginning in terms of how we did the show. I think we didn't really have a concept of how many people were listening because it was done at home and then emailed. It's like, okay, that's done. You know, that was like an hour that I spent at, you know, in my home office, and now it's gone. But then when people started saying that they heard it, then we were surprised because we're like, oh, wow. Oh, you listened to it. Like somebody heard that, you know? And so that was pretty amazing when we started to get feedback on the show and having people recognize, you know, our names or say that they learned something. That's like the most amazing thing ever. If anybody ever says I learned something on your show today, I think that's like, for me, it's like water to my soul. It's music to my ears. And I'm pretty sure we all feel the same way as a team, because that's why we're here. That's the whole point. So,
yes, I love that. I think that it shines a light on the grassroots kind of humble beginning that the show had. I think that's so relatable that you came from a time of something that was needed and it's grown into what it is now. I think that's just amazing. It's so beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Do we talk to the guests before the show?
Yeah.
Usually. Now that Natasha's here, yes.
Yes. Absolutely. I always make sure I do a pre-talk with our guests just to gauge their temperament, answer any questions that they may have, and also basically make sure they know what to expect. Also, I want to make sure they're comfortable with speaking on the radio. You know, you may find someone who's very knowledgeable on the topic, but just kind of, you know, clams up or isn't able to articulate that. So I think that's why we absolutely take the time to talk to each and every one of our guests before they come on the show.
Yeah, and that hasn't always been the case. There's been a couple times in the past, long, long time ago, which would be like season one, where I didn't have a chance to talk to somebody. It might have been like my mom who said this is going to be a perfect guest for the show, and you know, she knew them, and so I just took her word for it, and you know, and then we just got together and did the recording. And most of the time it was fine, but there have been a couple times where I wish that I had gotten a feel for their temperament and their personality, because once we were in it, I just had to like adjust quickly. And I was like, oh, this is hard. And I will say myself, one time I totally was hard on myself because I kept saying that this person was from like the Bahamas or something and she was from Barbados. And if I had that conversation with her myself before, then it would have stuck in my head. And so now that's a mistake I won't ever make again. And if I ever had to like produce on my own, I would make sure that we get to talk before the show. So, okay, let's see. Do we edit the shows? So we'll answer this and then we'll take a quick break.
Yes, so you and I don't personally edit the shows. We have an amazing, fabulous, wonderfully talented engineer named Cheryl that edits the show. She is wonderful. She makes us look good and sound good, and she keeps us comfortable. She brings everything, all of her talent and all of her gifts into making each episode the best it can possibly be. I'm so thankful for her. We also have Boston, who accepts him sometimes, and he is equally as talented and amazing. But yes, we definitely edit the shows. We have an amazing staff and team who do that and make it sound amazing. I'm so thankful for them. They do a great job.
Yes, and we had Rhonda McBride was doing the editing for the longest time, and she's not here at KTOO anymore. I think she's in Anchorage now, but Rhonda was working with the show for forever, and she had the patience of Job, let me just say that. And then we've also had the pleasure of working with Shelley Delaney and Scott Burton as well, like, and that was like back in season one when we first started, so we have been very blessed to get to know several of the members of KTOO helping us out along the way. All right. So if you're just joining us on Culture Rich Conversations, I'm Christina Michelle, and I've been speaking with our producer and today's guest, Natasha Boozer. Natasha and I are answering your questions about the ins and outs of our show, Culture Rich Conversations. It's not easy putting our show together, and there are so many crucial details to consider, but every week we get it done, we have lots more to share, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. This afternoon, our guest is Natasha Boozer, who is also our show producer. So far, she and I have discussed how the show began, how we choose our topics, how we choose our guests, and even how long it takes to put together each episode. Our listeners have been sharing a lot of questions with us, so let's dive right back in. Okay, so the next question, have we received any training on how to produce and host a show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, so in the beginning, we did start with no training. We just kind of did it scared. And we had the coaching, though. We had coaching from Rhonda and from Cheryl along the way. A few months ago, we were able to get some training, and that was arranged by KTOO. Thankfully, we were super, super happy. We did some training with Jen White, who hosts 1A, which is produced by WAMU and distributed by NPR. And Jen White was amazing. It was my first time working with her, and we learned a lot. And actually, that's where we were able to kind of pinpoint what it is that we want it to be known for with the show, and talking about how it highlights the Black lived experience. And so lots of great things came from that training. So I took it, my mom took it, Kelly was there, and Natasha.
Yes. I was so thankful for the training. Jen was amazing. What a great, I was so thankful that she took the time and really gave us the ins and outs, the nuts and bolts that go into putting a show together and bringing it to the radio. It definitely helped me know what needed to be done and give me the confidence that I needed to do my job. I was so thankful for it. It was 2 days, and I was so thankful for it. I think that it definitely solidified me knowing what to do, how to do it, when to do it, why I was doing it, and what was expected of me coming into this job. I'm so grateful to KTOO for giving us the opportunity to have that training, because it was very much needed, at least for me it was, absolutely.
Okay, the next question. Do we get paid?
Yes. You can
do we get paid, Natasha?
We do.
Okay, so in the beginning, we didn't. Like, that. It wasn't about that, and it still isn't. It just was an opportunity to do this thing that we wanted to do for our community and in our community. And along the way, we have now, we've gained sponsors, and there is a scholarship that we're now funded by, the Alaska Community Foundation sponsorship. And I hope that I'm saying that right. And so we say it at the beginning of every show, and making sure that our listeners know that we have received like a scholarship from a grant program. And so then we do receive a stipend from that, which we are grateful for.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. Yes.
Okay. Let's see. What else do we do in the community? So I think we can answer this from an individual's perspective, and then I'll also do my best to answer it from the perspective of Black Awareness, so the Black Awareness Association. So I'll start with BAA. We host every year the Martin Luther King program, and that's every January. We have a service, and we, with the exception of this year, I don't think we did the service. We did a fundraiser, and the proceeds from that fundraiser, it was a food drive, and the proceeds went to the Aware Shelter and to the Glory Hall. And we did that in honor of Martin Luther King Day because COVID was still very prevalent and we wanted to be as safe as possible. So we didn't have a gathering. But outside of that, we usually host that every year. What we were also doing, and I think we'll get back to next year, but have taken a break from because of COVID as well, is the soul food gathering. So we would do a soul food dinner every February for Black History Month. So, like, I was gonna say African American History Month. I was like, that's not it, but that's it too. So, so we have been doing that, and then we partner with Reverend Bobby Lewis, who also comes every February, and he hosts the gospel choir, which is amazing. And there have been more than 100 voices that come together. What's beautiful about the gospel choir is how many people come together and remember their music from last year, or they quickly pick up new music. And they only practice for a week. You know, I think that they get the music ahead of time and they listen to it. But coming together and actually practicing in person, it's only 1 week. But then the performance is beautiful and it's flawless and it's so moving and meaningful that I'm impressed with it every single year. And very grateful to Reverend Bobby Lewis for coming, because he comes every year from New York. He's coming from, like, Brooklyn, and he pastors a church there. And him and his musician, Eustace Johnson, they come together. And so it's pretty amazing, and Black Awareness is happy to support that and be a part of it. And then let's see, what else do we do? Oh, so we have a scholarship, and it's the Black Excellence Scholarship. And every year we award finances to a African-American student who is graduating from high school and needing support going to college. So we also help with books and things like that, because sports are expensive. My nephew plays all the things, and I can just say I'm glad it's not me who's his parent, because it's like a constant, like, it's a drain on the pocketbook. I can see that. And so the Black Awareness Association, as we're able to, we do fund and help support our African-American students in the arts and in sports and in educational goals. So My mom is the president, Sherry Patterson, and she could speak much better to this than I can, and so I'm probably missing a couple things, but those are just a few of the ways that we're involved in the community outside of culture-rich conversations. And then for myself as a person, I can't really say that I, you know, the question was, what else do we do in the community? So what I do in the community is what I do with BAA. So I'm not out there as an individual, you know, doing amazing things. I'll just say that.
Well, I think that also, you know, bringing guests on that are local residents of Juneau that can come in and talk about their business or what they do, I think that also contributes to what we do in the community, at least as far as my perspective, because I'm, you know, I'm in Vegas, so I'm not there physically. But I think if we can, when we do bring in guests that are in Juneau or are in Alaska, and they can come in and talk about their business and what they do in their community, how active they are, like with the election episode we did the election episode, I think that was a great contribution to our community in Alaska as a whole.
Absolutely. Okay, let's see. What's your favorite thing about doing the show?
Do you want to go first?
Okay. First of all, I can never have one anything. So I don't have one favorite thing about doing the show, but I would say like my top couple are the like having an idea for a show and watching it go from conception to completion. That's very rewarding and fulfilling. And especially when somebody gets on board with the vision for it, and then when we find a guest who's so perfect for it, and then when it just all goes off without a hitch. Yeah, I love that. And then I would say also receiving feedback, any kind of feedback, even if it's, you know, constructive criticism, I'm okay with that. I want to be great at what we're doing. And so whenever we know that somebody's listening and they care enough to reach out and say something, then we want to hear it. And I'm always happy to implement suggestions. And of course, I always appreciate, you know, praise and just knowing that something is resonating with somebody and that they're learning something. So I say that those are my top two.
I love that. I think for me, like, obviously, one of my favorite things is, you know, you and I have known each other for decades.
Since third grade, fourth grade? It's been a long time. Yeah.
Very long time. And so it always tickles me that I get to work with one of my very best friends. And I get to, you know, be a part of the show that airs where I grew up in Juneau, Alaska. I think that's so exciting. It's so fulfilling as a career, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity. I also love that I got to meet, you know, Cheryl and Boston and Rhonda and work with Shelley. I love that I get to meet these people who are so great at their job, and they're so open and generous and patient, and they help me do my job well. That's a great part of it. I also love meeting the guests. I learn so much from them and how hard they've worked to be where they are. I think the guests have taught me so much about life and just being outside your comfort zone and not, you know, just living and existing in your own little bubble. I love that so much. So I think those are my top three for sure.
I love that. I would agree with you. I love all of those things as well. Let's see. Okay, calling the host out. Does the host listen to the show afterwards? Why or why not? Okay. No. No. So before, when we were recording them at home, when I hosted, because I haven't always been the only one hosting, but when I did host and record at home, I would listen to the show probably like three times afterwards because I was editing, because we'd have this raw file and, you know, we were picking up all of these like sighs and, you know, breaths, and there'd be like long pauses because it was on Zoom, and sometimes somebody's connection would cut out, and it was like a hot mess sometimes. And so I would go back and I would cut those things out and I would edit and I'd try to like piece it together and make it sound better, so that KTOO wouldn't be like, what the heck, when we sent the file to them. So I would listen for that reason, but not necessarily to like critique myself or anything like that. And now I think it moves so fast. It's, you know, every week there's another show and it feels like, okay, cool, we're done. And so then I'm thinking more about the next show. I don't necessarily think about going back to hear what we already did. So do you, as the producer, Natasha, even though that wasn't the question, I'm going to kick it over to you.
Go ahead. So what I do is during each episode, so I write the shows and I do the script. I try to get it, you know, to you guys at least 2 days before, because that means the day before I don't look at it, I write it and I put it away. And then the day of the show when we tape, I like to be present and listen to the guests and listen to you as the host and take it in as a listener, because I feel like that helps me learn as a producer. I'm not married to my words, so I love to hear what you as the host bring to the show, and I hear what the guests are going to say. It helps me get a listener. Growing up, you know, KTO was my radio station as a kid, and they would play that polka music all the time and the country music all the time. That was my radio season growing up. And so now I love to get it from the point of view of a listener, because I'm always open and ready to hear what comes from the show, because it helps me know what to look for, what to work on, what to fix, and it makes me better at my job. So I don't always go back and listen, but when it is taping and recording, I'm very much 100% present to receive what comes from the show. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I know that we've had conversations. We were just talking about this last night, how present you always are when we're pre-recording a show, which is not every week, but when we do, she's listening to the show when we're recording as if, you know, it's live, and she's a listener. And I love how attentive and present she is always. So that's really cool. Let's see here. What are the topics we don't consider part of our content? So I think this is asking what we won't talk about. And Natasha, I'm gonna let you know if you're cutting out, because you're on Zoom or on the phone. I'm sorry. So we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty with the audio there. But if you start cutting out again, I'll just stop you so that nobody misses what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. I don't know that there's. I can't think of anything that anybody's asked us to do that we flat out said, no, we can't or we won't. I think for me personally, I have a hard time with political topics, just because I'm not super into politics myself. And that has nothing to do with what we're here for, but just, you know, wanting to be present and wanting to do my best work, it always helps if I'm interested in what we're talking about. And so I'm not like super, super excited about politicky topics, but it's not that we would say no or that we don't do it because of that reason. I think anything that is, I guess if it's something that goes against our values as an organization, we wouldn't do it. And that covers a range of things. But I can't think of anything specific that we've been asked to do that we won't.
I agree. I think if it doesn't really shine a light on the Black lived experience, then it's not really for us. You know, here at our show, we strive to, again, inform and educate our audience. And if a topic doesn't do just that, it's not something that we put our energy into, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that answers this next question, which is, you know, what is the show for? What is the platform for? And what is it not for? And that's absolutely right. It's about highlighting and showcasing the Black lived experience in lots of different ways. And if it doesn't fall under that, then I don't see why we would do it.
I agree.
Okay, let's see. What has been the best feedback we've ever received and the worst? I don't know that I've heard either, honestly. I don't so, because I don't check the email. I don't monitor the email or the social media, and that's where most of our feedback comes from. So the person and people who do, I don't know that it necessarily would get to me. But I guess what I do know that I've heard, I think about the black hair, actually too, the black hair episode, we got so much positive feedback about that. And I was really happy that people found it not only entertaining, but educational. And I think that was like one of our accidental best shows. Like if I were to pick one that I thought that people would love, it wouldn't have been that one, but it was. And so that was exciting to discover. And then let's see, I think what I've heard, like the worst feedback, somebody, it was just an opinion that they felt that somebody was too, when she shared her experience being black growing up in Alaska, they didn't like what she shared that she experienced and was kind of defensive about it. Kind of, you know, I don't want to say in denial, but that's kind of what it was, is that that wouldn't happen here in Juneau. Like that couldn't have been what they meant or what they said or what they did. And so they were kind of critical of that guest and the fact that she shared her experience. And so that was upsetting as a host, you know, when somebody comes on and they're vulnerable and they're willing to share from their heart, especially something that was traumatic, and then somebody to criticize them for it and invalidate their experience, that's hurtful. So I would say that's probably the worst feedback that I've heard.
Absolutely. I think for me, the best is when we get to the
Oh, wait, Natasha, you're cutting out again. Okay. All right, so we lost audio for just a second.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Can you hear me right? Okay, we're good? Okay,
yep, great. Go ahead.
So the best feedback that I've received is when people can relate to our topics and they feel like their voices have been heard and they're not alone in their own experience.
Nice.
And I think that's beautiful. I think for me personally, the worst feedback I ever received was when we did a show before I was a producer and I came on as a guest and I had someone send me a message and they said to talking about music. And I was talking about my experience raising a black son and all of that. And most people know, you know, I used to sing at JDHS and I was a musician, and they commented that they would have rather I spoke about singing and not about whatever I've experienced as a black woman and a black mother raising a black son. And again, it goes to someone trying to deny my experience. But it did happen.
So wait, so they said that they would rather you just stick to talking about singing than your experience as a black woman?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. That sucks. Like, honestly.
Okay. I'm tough. I can't handle it.
Well, I mean, it's
That's
interesting.
That's a them problem.
Right? That is a them problem.
Yeah,
you're right.
Not a me problem.
You're right. My pastor in California, he talks a lot about how African-Americans historically have been known for entertainment. So it's what, you know, it's sports and it's singing and it's dancing and it's that. And so then, you know, if you're not doing that, then people are like, you have a brain, like you have, and not obviously, like it's not that way across the board, but that's what, you know, what you just said, like you should stick to singing. Like, wow. Okay. Well, that's why we're here and that's why we do what we do. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's see here. Who are our dream guests? I love that question. Who are our dream guests? Let's see. Actually, in the one right after that is who have been our favorite so far. So I'm going to answer that first while I think about the dream guest. My favorite by far has been when we interviewed the ladies formerly known as the Supremes. I was so excited about that. And I got to interview them via Zoom, and they were just so funny and engaging, and like just watching them interact with each other and the way that they played off of each other and supported each other. And then they all had really strong opinions on the topic. And at the time it was, I think it was an election year. And so they were talking about the upcoming election and they had lots to say. And I loved seeing like three Black women who are also icons in the music industry, who they were speaking from that perspective, but then they were also real, and they were also coming from the perspective of mothers and grandmothers and friends, you know. And so I loved that for lots and lots of reasons. So that's one of my favorites. And then I would say one of the ones we did more recently, which was Trina Lynch Jackson, and she shared the story of her uncle and his masks. And so here in Juneau, he made these beautiful masks that told stories, and she was a great storyteller, and she shared, you know, some of his poetry from a book that he wrote, and it was just really beautiful. And that was one of the most surprising shows for me, because she's one who I didn't talk to before the show. She's one that my mom, she had put all that together and booked her to be here, and I happened to meet her the day of, and I fell in love. So those are my top two favorites.
For me, my favorite would be when we spoke to you, obviously,
Natasha, so we're having a hard time hearing you again. I'm going to
hear him now.
Go ahead.
I was saying that my favorite guests were when I had my sister on with a first round table, my youngest.
Oh, yeah.
So that was... I've enjoyed also being able to reconnect with childhood friends when we had Takaja on and RJ on.
Yes.
And even a future guest that we'll have later on this year. It was really great to connect with them. I love that. I love that very much. Absolutely.
Okay, let's see. Our dream guest. So I did think of one. I have a couple, but one that I would really love is to interview Master P, who is a rapper. So I know it's like, it's not a likely person to be like, hey, can you come on our show, Culture Rich Conversations? But he's more than a rapper. He's a businessman. He's a very savvy entrepreneur. And when we talked about Black entrepreneurs several shows ago, he's one that came up. And then I started looking into what he does outside of the music industry, and I was really impressed. And so he would be awesome to interview, that, you know, for me.
So I'll work on that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'll see what I can do. Stay tuned.
Yeah, if you could just go book Master P for next week, like, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, so my dream guest, her name is Lene, and she was nominated for NAACP Award. She majored in African American history, and she's so knowledgeable about the injustices of Black Americans and how we have to deal with that every single day. She blew my mind. She's just so knowledgeable, and she just is very active in making sure that Black Americans are educated on their rights and bringing to the forefront every single struggle we have just walking out of our door every day. You know, I think that as far as for Black Americans, we are very aware of our color. We walk out of our house. Mm-hmm. We go into a grocery store, we go get gas. And I think that she's just really very passionate about making sure that it's talked about, that people are aware. And so I am very hopeful on the show this season. I'm working on it. She's in high demand, but she is 100% a dream guest for me, for sure.
Okay, so lots to look forward to. Do we have time to talk about the shows that are coming up, the topics? Maybe a couple of them?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so I know that we're working on something really cool for Black History Month. I really want to I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but I've put some ideas out there to you, Natasha, as our producer. And so I'm excited to see what sticks and what comes from it after you put like all your magic on it. So it's going to be great in February. And then we have some things coming up for Women's History Month in March, which is going to be awesome. Speaking of which, you're going to be here. So you're going to come here to Juneau, and we're actually going to record a show together here in the studio. So that's really, really exciting. I can't wait for that. And then I have been wanting to do a show on human trafficking in the Black community and in sex trafficking and on domestic violence, just continuing. We did touch on that a few episodes ago. It was a very good and very moving show that we had. And I want to kind of piggyback on that. And I want to talk more about domestic violence in the Black community and also talking specifically about narcissistic personality disorder, because it's something that affects every culture, every race. But I think that a lot of traits of NPD are normalized in the Black community, and women and men as well are victims, and they don't even realize it. And so I really am excited to highlight and raise awareness around that subject. It's kind of a downer, but it's necessary.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's necessary, 100%. Yeah.
Let's see. And then I don't have a list of all of our show topics coming up, but the good thing is if there's something that you as a listener want to hear us talk about, please let us know. You can send us an email and I will share our email address at the end of the show. And you can also reach out to us on Facebook, just looking for Juneau BAA. Okay. Anything else, Natasha, before we go to break?
I think just talking about what we learned from me, it was the election episode. I learned so much.
Which episode?
Oh, the election episode.
The election episode. Okay.
Yes. I think we learned a lot, and I think it was so needed. I hope that it made a difference. For Alaska? I know that it did for me.
Yeah. Well, it did for me, too, because I learned a lot that I didn't even know I needed to know, and especially about the suppression of the Black vote. I knew that it happened, but I didn't understand the ways that it happened. So when they really broke that down, then, you know, a light bulb went off for me, and it also made it even more important that I got out. I wasn't going to vote just because I was busy. But after that episode, I was like, there's no way I'm not getting to the poll today. So it did make a difference for me as well.
Thank you for voting. But yeah, that one was important, I think.
All right. Well, Natasha, I just want to say thank you again for being here with us today. It's not every day that you get a chance to work with somebody who's one of your best friends. And I'm thankful that I now get to do that with you. And just, again, so thankful for what you're bringing to Culture Rich Conversations. I appreciate you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
And I hope that today, after this episode, our listeners have a better understanding of the work that goes into creating our great episodes each week. We really appreciate you for asking the questions that we answered today. If you have more, please feel free to reach out to us. This is Culture Rich Conversations, and I'm Christina Michelle. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak gunish cheese.
Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. Today in Black History, we celebrate Lucy Ann Stanton, who on December 8, 1850, became the first African-American woman to graduate from a four-year college. She studied at Oberlin College and received her degree in literature. Lucy Stanton was also the first African-American woman who was an author of fiction to have her work published. She was a writer, a teacher, and so much more. But most of all, she was a leader. We salute Lucy Ann Stanton for her hard work, tenacity, and perseverance. I would like to again thank the producer of our show and today's special guest, Natasha Boozer, for joining me today to answer questions from our listening audience. I also want to thank you, our listeners, for sending us your questions and your comments. We certainly enjoyed reading them, and we didn't have time to answer everything, but we definitely will read them all. We appreciate our listeners for being here, and we do, again, look forward to hearing any feedback from you. So just feel free to reach out to us through our email address, which is junobaa@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, just searching JunoBAA. You can mail us something if you would like to P.O. Box 33734, Juneau, Alaska 99803. And you can also comment on the KTOO website under a Juneau Afternoon. As you know, today's producer was Natasha Boozer. We'll meet again next week. And in the meantime, may your life be blessed and flow with ease. I'm Christina Michelle. This has been Culture Rich Conversations.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund Grant Program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
Support for Juneau Afternoon is provided by Hansen Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klingit & Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.